This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
USB-C.
That's right.
Yeah, quick charge.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Can you begin? Okay, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم أعتقد 13 من شهر محرم 1445 الموافق ل 31 جولاي 2023 بإذن الله عز وجل نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today is the beginning inshallah of our durus after the long break. So before we begin, inshallah, I will remind myself and whoever is here and whoever can hear me about the important things to be observed when seeking the knowledge. Knowledge is the best thing that somebody does to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because whatever you do, which we aim to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it must be based on knowledge. Otherwise, it will be rejected. And that's why, with no hesitation, we say that this is the most important thing to be done in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your tawheed will not be accepted if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعَلَمْ أَنْهُ المؤمنات. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you should not worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars have mentioned that this shows the importance of knowledge, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about tawheed, but he started with knowledge first. He attached tawheed to the knowledge. Because if there is no knowledge, and when I say knowledge, I'm talking about the proper knowledge which is taken from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true knowledge. This is what I'm referring to. all of those people who deviated from the right path, the reason why they deviated, it is because of this matter. They either lacked the knowledge completely, or they got the wrong one, or they missed the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you do have some who have the right knowledge and they know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly wants. But unfortunately, due to the deception of the dunya and also following this life, which is based on illusion, they changed. They decided to stay away from the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed them and use something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْسَلَخْ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَوِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tell us about that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed a lot of knowledge. And subhanAllah, you can see that yes, this person is really a knowledgeable person, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about his knowledge in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَتَيْنَهُ آيَاتِنَا. We gave him our sign. That's mean the knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the knowledge of the Torah or the Injil. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. That's Bal'am ibn Ba'ura, according to what history tells us. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. Al-insilakh is like you're wearing a cloth and you remove yourself from that cloth. Because knowledge is like a cloth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he took himself out of it. فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. Subhanallah. So he lost the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became one of the followers of the shaitan. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. And then he became one of the deviators who deviate others also. Allah says, وَلَوْ شِئِنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ إِن تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكْهُ يَلْهَثْ. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا. If we wish, we will elevate him in ranking because of that knowledge that we gave him. Because this is what knowledge does. If you have the correct one, your ranking is supposed to be elevated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to raise the ranking of those people who believe in him and the scholars as well. So that's the result of learning. When you have the knowledge, the true knowledge, you're supposed to get this privilege. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate you in ranking in this dunya. So this person lost this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. Unfortunately, he favored the life of this dunya. Favored the life of this dunya and follows his desire. This is the meaning of the ikhlad. You know, choosing a path other than the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for him. وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. So he followed his desire. Rather than following that which the knowledge is indicating, is directing him to do, وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. Because when you stay away from the knowledge, what do you expect that person to do? To follow the hawa. Iwallah, there is no result, you know, for staying away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what he wants you to do, except following the desire, the hawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْبِدْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا. He's talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked him to be patient with those good ones. Although they are weak in the society, they don't have power, they don't have money, they don't have anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be patient with them, because they are the people who are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, وَاسْبِدْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا وَلَا تَعَدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not, you know, skip those people and go and look for others just because you're looking for the zina of this dunya. تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. This is the mahal shahid. Allah says, do not follow and obey that person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him to be negligent of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what knowledge is all about. So if a person is negligent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the knowledge that can lead him to Allah, what do you expect from that person? Ittiba'ul hawa. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Yeah, that's subhanAllah. These are results that are based on, you know, muqaddimat. If you have this, you're going to end up doing this. Because when there is no dhikr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person is going to be following his hawa. وَلَبُدْ لَبُدْ. There is no way for a person to stay away from Allah and at the same time not following the hawa. Allah says, وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. SubhanAllah. What do you expect from somebody who is following the desire? Somebody who is in a state of loss. Nothing will be straightforward concerning his affairs. He'll be negligent, and also somebody who is involved in taqseer and also tafreed and ifrat, also in things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to be moderate. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. We quoted this ayah to support the other place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talk about that person. He says, وَلَوْ شَئِنَا لَرَفَعَنَاهُ بِهَا وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. Allah, I like this one so much because if you know what our societies are all about, you know, concerning those scholars, wallahi, from their faces, you don't see relief. Yeah. There are people from amongst the scholars, you look at him, you see that this person doesn't relax, you know. And always in a state of worry, always in a state of fear. We have witnessed some of them, you know. And that's the result of staying away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not using the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a person. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُهُ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ, this person, كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. If you want to see the likeness of this person, who is given the knowledge but he doesn't use it. Allah says, كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. He has no similarity in even in the animals except dog. A dog means أَخَصِّ خَلْقِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. إِن تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكُهُ يَلْهَثْ. You know, the dog always in a state of bringing it tongues, you know, breathing hardly. You know. Whether it rested, it doesn't, it's just the life of the dog. SubhanAllah. That's the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Rabbul Alameen for those people, which shows that they were never relaxed in their life. So I said, knowledge is the best thing that a person does to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes even before the tawheed, because the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on the knowledge. Most of those people, as I said, who deviated from the right path, they are deviated because of lack of the knowledge, they have the knowledge, but unfortunately they don't use it properly, or they have the knowledge, but unfortunately they took it from the wrong people, so they became misguided. They were given the thing, but in the wrong way. So that's knowledge. For a person to get the best of it, there are certain adab to be maintained. Number one is sincerity. Number one, and the best one, you know, is sincerity. Ikhlas. Without ikhlas, whatever you learn is useless. It's going to be wabalun alayka. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about awwalu man tusa'aru bihim naru jahannam thalatha. You know, the first people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take to hell, they are the three mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as you know, one of them is a scholar, one of them is a muzakki, and the other one is mujahid, according to what appears to us. A scholar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him. I will just talk about this one alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him on the day of judgment and will ask him, what did you do with the knowledge that I have given you? Yeah, because if you have the knowledge, you're supposed to use it properly. Get it for the sake of Allah, do it sincerely, and also pass it to others. So Allah will ask him, what did you do with the knowledge I gave you? He will say, Ya Allah, qara'tu fika al-Qur'ana wa aqara'tu. SubhanAllah. And there are some people, even on the Day of Judgment, they lie. This is one of them. They say, Ya Allah, I have recited Quran, meaning I waqra'atu, and I taught the Quran to others for your sake, because it's a fiqh. I did all of this, and I learned for your sake, and I taught others because of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, كذبت وتقول الملائكة كذبت. Allah will tell him, you are lying. And angels also will tell him, you are lying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, إنما قرأت ليقال قارئ. You are doing all of those things so that people will say, what a nice sheikh. What an excellent sheikh. You are looking for that praise. وَقَدْ قِيلَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it has been said to you. Subhanallah. All of his efforts are gone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the angel to take him to hell. It is mentioned that some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faint whenever they read this. You Allah, if you understand it correctly, this is a matter that a person should worry about. So ikhlas is necessary, a person to do it for Allah, and also for the sake of removing the ignorance from himself, and also ignorance from his brothers and sisters. Yeah, that should be the intention. You're having it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to remove that ignorance from yourself, and also to contribute to the community, to spread the knowledge that you took from the scholars. And a person can fix it. You know, it is not to say that if your intention is not good, because subhanAllah, most of us, especially when we come to the university, and I don't want to say the intention is not good, but most of us, we don't do the istihdar of this niyyah. That's why when those scholars said zakat can be given to the student of knowledge, because they are also fi sabilillah, so the first question I ask is, if I go to the university and I ask the student, you are studying in this university, are you doing it fi sabilillah? And if they are to be honest, how many you think will open their mouth and tell you, yes, we are here fi sabilillah? I mean, the intention is purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something that Islam will be proud of. Most of us, we are coming to the universities for the sake of what? Just Khalid says he's having influence, so yeah, I was going to put it in a nicer way, you know, to hide the true identity, to get a good certificate, you know, just keep it like that. Yeah, but everyone knows that if a person is interviewed, they will say that we want to get a better job. Yeah, that was the intention, and this is a very wrong intention. And wallahu a'lam, that's why after the graduation, you know, when we graduate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withdraw from supporting us, will let us do it alone. Because during the education, you are not with him at all. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he says, احفظ الله تجده تجاهك أو تجده أمامك. يعني be careful now, do the right thing now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of your future. But I mess up my life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the university, and then I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with me after the graduation. Yeah, wallahu ghafur rahim. But he wants us to be realistic and use the asbab correctly. Yeah. It is necessary that all the students of knowledge in the university to fix their intention. That intention should be for Allah alone. Because if you make the intention for the dunya, yeah, that dunya might come, might not come. You know, it can only come in the way Allah wants to prescribe it. But if you make it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're getting the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you are serious, you know, in observing the other manners that we are going to be highlighting, you will definitely get that which you're looking for. Actually, the best one. So technically, you don't even need to have the intention of getting money in the future. That's a waste of time, I call it. You know, make it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be serious in that. And let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see that, yes, your education, although it is dunya education, but you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see how to contribute to the Muslim community and benefiting the Muslim Ummah, and also everyone is going to benefit from that. At the end of the day, if you do the right thing, you're going to get the good and excellent result, and the job will come. And the best one also, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you fear Him, He promised to give you the best. So it's a secret, you know, that most of us are not aware of it. Yeah. So the first condition is ikhlas, sincerity. Sincerity is the thing that keeps the knowledge. Trust me, sincerity keeps the knowledge. If you do something for Allah, it remains. مَا كَانِ اللَّهِ دَامَ وَقَرَّ كَمَا قَالَ إِمَامُ مَالِكِ. Whatever is done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains. Whatever is done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains. And Allah helps you to memorize. So that's the first condition or advice, that we should be mukhlisi in our study. Those who are coming to this class and any other class, fix your intention. Make it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will help you bi idhnillahi azza wa jalla to be consistent. And the second is patience. Patience when it comes to attending the classes and also taking note as much as you can. Yeah, this is necessary. Knowledge without patience, it's not going to be attained at all. Yeah, scholars have discussed this matter a lot. Yeah, why patience is necessary? Because if you're a true student, you're going to face a lot of challenges. Challenges from the teachers, challenges from the colleagues, challenges from also journey going from place to place to get the knowledge. You're going to face all of these obstacles, and you have to pass them for you to get the knowledge. From the teachers, you might be confronted with somebody, mashallah, who has even dogs in his house. Not for the thieves, but to give tarbiyah to student of knowledge. Yeah, what do you do with those kind of people? You know, we don't have the people like this, you know, literally, but still have some scholars who are really, really, really stingy and very strict. If you are not patient, trust me, you cannot stay with them for a day. Yeah, and who is losing at the end of the day? You. You're going to go to another person also. If he perceives that, yes, this is who you are, he is also going to neglect you, you will lose. So it is necessary, as Imam Shafi'i says, to understand the scholars and just to go for the sake of knowledge and give them all the respect and the adab that is necessary, and be patient. Yeah, you're going to see jafa from some of them. Huge jafa. Harshness, they will be very harsh. Somebody who is not approachable. And some people are just doing it intentionally. Not because this is their nature, but they are just doing it intentionally to test the sincerity of that person who is looking for knowledge. So we are living in a time whereby we, the student, we are the one who are giving the teachers what to teach. And we are the one who are teaching to them how to teach. Yeah, that's why many places you find it when it begins, yeah, almost everyone is complaining, with the exception of Fulan wa Ilan, that the class begins, and good class. Yeah, but you know, you have hundreds of them coming. After 1 or 2, 3 days, only 1 or 2, 3 people left. Where are the rest? Yeah. The class is not interesting in the way they were expecting the class to be. Because we are too much in the Roman oriented kind of people, you know. So if you don't have that one, you know. I heard one of the scholars complain about this. I don't know what to do to let people come to the class. You know, I just come to give the knowledge, but I realize that people want me to bring funny things and things that will make them laugh. You know? So that's why we see the change. To say that there is no change at all, this is a lie. But the change is very slow. very slow. And the change also is in the way we are looking for. This is wrong, not in the way Islam wants it. So that's why you hear a lot of what he calls changes. A person used to be with us and everything is fine, but then after a few days when he go to some other places, he changed. Because the establishment was not done properly. So I really advise you, this is really necessary. And this is one of the disease of this contemporary time of ours, that we, the student, give the teachers and the lecturers what to teach. And they have to teach in the way we want. And this is against, totally against the manhaj of the Salaf al-Saleh. Person just go to the sheikh with an empty mind. Just waiting for him to give whatever. And sometimes the knowledge that will be said by the sheikh, you already know. He'll be saying a lot of things, but this is how knowledge is being revised. Go today, tomorrow, then this is how you memorize. People like Sheikh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah, as some scholars mentioned about him, you know, he was, who made him, I'm not talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making him like that, but the one who produced him in this way, they are the scholars. So many scholars he attended. So most of the knowledge that he is passing, these are knowledge he took from people. And then you add the book. The root is from the book. Kids like this. No. But they still look at themselves, students of Sheikh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah, until his death. And they go to him, and they call him Sheikh. This is what Sheikh, and they're proud of, you know. You have Ibn Kathir, Ibn Qayyim, you know, Zahabi, you know, all of those great, 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 great scholars. And we feel shy to call them students, but they are next to Sheikh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah, and they will never agree with you to call them scholars in his presence. So what I'm trying to say is, patience is necessary, and this is how we learn. Just go submit yourself to the person who is teaching you. The knowledge, just take. Yeah, if you have some comment, then you present your comments rather than losing everything. There are some in the past who used to criticize the scholars. At the end of the day, those scholars left them, and they regretted in the future. So patience is necessary. Yeah. And the last thing I will be emphasizing on is a commitment. Yeah, please be committed. There are many other mentioned by the scholars, but I'm just emphasizing on these that I believe to be the most important ones, commitment. Yeah. Be committed to what you plan to be studying. Yeah. So, for instance, we have a class you want to attend. Be committed. Be serious. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala see your seriousness. Don't miss a class unless if it is really necessary. In the past, they used to do a tanawub fi talab. Huzair and Qayyum, they realized that they have a job and every day they might not be able to come, both of them. So they just agree. You come today and then tomorrow I will go. Whatever you got, you come and dictate. I take all the knowledge from you, what the sheikh said. Yeah, because they don't want to miss. We're told about some of those scholars who used to go to the class and the sheikh is not there. They used to go and sit. And just because they want to let their soul to understand that there is no break in life. Yeah. They don't want the soul to understand that there is a break in life. Even the days where the sheikh is not around, they go to the majlis and revise their knowledge in that place. So we have a lot of excuses, which I believe is all about time management. Yes, there are some of us who are having the official work, and sometimes things comes at that time, they can't avoid it. But I'm talking about those people who are free. They choose the time they want to put this, they put it at that time. Those ones, honestly speaking, I really blame them when they don't come to any class which they believe is beneficial to them. Yeah, because they can rearrange. This time is theirs. It's all about managing the time properly. something that you know you cannot do it now, just move it to another time. Don't miss the class which is fixed, unless if it is necessary. And always remember this word, as one of our mashayikh used to say, Sheikh Mukhtar, kalima, one word that you learn which brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is greater than the dunya and the akhirah. At Majlis al-Ilm, when you come to Majlis al-Ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our majalis, Majlis al-Ilm. Majlis al-Ilm, when you come to the Majlis al-Ilm, if you are serious, you will be among those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving the sins of them whenever they come. And be proud of them, you know, to the angels. And subhanAllah, they are so special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He said He forgives their sins, the angels will say, ya Allah, but amongst them there is somebody who is not actually listening, paying attention to the class. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them that these are the people, la yashqa bihim jalisu. Subhanallah. These are the people who are so special in the eyes of Allah, in a way, if somebody sits next to them, although he's not involved in that which they are doing, will not become shaqi. Meaning when the mercy and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to them, it will include him also. And it's subhanAllah, if he is just the attachment, not even attachment, you know, somebody who is not part of them, he's busy with his own affairs, but Allah included him in the blessing. What do you think about the roots themselves? Therefore, I really urge us to not listen to the illusion of this life in this contemporary era. Please maintain your good behavior and attitude and come to the class. Do not miss a single class which is beneficial. I'm not referring to my session. I believe there are so many sessions which are beneficial. Choose whatever you know you can maintain. Yeah, and be persistent and consistent, you know, concerning the attendance of the class. And also in the class, although I personally don't face this problem, but we do from time to time. When you are in the class, it is better to neglect any distraction. If I don't understand something, rather than asking my friend, which we do, and it's good to ask, yeah. But the problem of this is, I will ask my friend, and he will be giving me the answer. At the time, my sheikh will keep on talking, so I'm losing that one also that the sheikh is mentioning for something that I'm not sure whether my friend understood correctly or not. So at the end of the day, if I'm not careful, I lost what the sheikh is saying at that moment. And also, I do not get properly what my friend is telling. So the best is, whatever concern a person has, should jot it down. Yeah. After the class, or before the class, if the class can permit that, raise up your hand and ask your question. At least you pose the class. Yeah, now they teach what your question. And also, there is another benefit. There are some people who are shy of asking, but they have the same concern. So when you ask, they also benefit. Yeah, so you solve a lot of problem and you don't miss anything. So these are a few reminders that I decided to open this session with it today. I do not plan to teach at that Wadawa. Yeah, I plan to just open the session. Well, I feel, honestly speaking, trust me, I feel jasad bidun ruh. Ya Allah, throughout my journey, that was a time I was questioning myself, what exactly is going on in my life? Ya Allah, I feel like I'm getting to become a deviated, you know. Ya Allah, I just sit down, I had to see, what am I doing? Okay, I'm not doing anything. I don't see things bad, but just not having the classes took the feeling. So today I wasn't supposed to come. But then I told myself, if you don't break the the barrier, this is how shaitan works to keep on delaying the class. So yeah, last one until I accept all of us. I guess this is more than enough for today. Tomorrow, إذن الله تعالى, I will meet you in the Riyadh al-Salihin class, inshallah. My most beloved class. If there is any question, let's address them. إذن الله. Yes, was it?
اللهم
أمين أجمعين.
First three people to enter. In that hadith, those people, they did it for marrying some other niyyah. It could be counted as shirk because they could be doing it for riyah. Will those people stay in hell forever?
No, it depends on who they are. If that lack of sincerity did not take them out of Islam, they will never remain in hell. They will be punished according to their sins and then be taken to paradise after that. Yeah. Any sin that doesn't take a person out of Islam, if a person goes to hell, he will come out of it. Yeah, he will never remain in hell forever. No. Very, very, very dangerous. Not learning for Allah, but not using it. Yeah, not practicing. Very dangerous. Yes, sir. Can you?
Is the status of the mother and the stepmother the same in Islam? For example, like if the mother's dua is definitely accepted by Allah, is it the same case with the stepmother?
Yeah, the mothers, when Allah wants to talk about the mother, that her dua is having that power, is the biological mother. Yeah. The stepmother, she's connected to the person in the sense that she's married to the father, and the son cannot marry her, and she deserves all kinds of respect. It's haram for him to disrespect her. But is she getting all the privileges as the biological mother? No. That's given to the one who gave birth to the child. That person, that other sister did not do that. You get it? And that pain and that suffering, the one went. These are the things that qualifies her to have that position. The stepmother doesn't have. Yeah, she gained the respect because she's connected to the father, does it? Yeah, the one who has is the father who struggle. And I mean, who's the source of the child, and the mother, who's the place where the child lived until he came out. But as I said, this is not a ticket to the children to disrespect their stepmothers, no. You have to listen, they obey. Yeah. But sometimes a person might be tested with a mother or stepmother, even the mother herself, who is very harsh and unnecessarily harsh. And when she wants something, if the son is to just show some concern, she might make dua against him. All of these dua are useless. It will not affect the son. When he doesn't deserve, he will not affect him. Yeah. Allah says, وَلَوْ يَعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ الشَّرَّ اسْتِعْجَالَهُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ لَقُوْضِ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ There are a lot of dua people are making. Allah doesn't listen. If he listen long, nobody will exist here. So, parent, when they do the dua and the child deserves that dua, definitely the child is in trouble because that dua is going to be heard. And when the parents are making dua to the child and the child doesn't deserve it, he would not. He's following the Sharia and they're cursing him. He's doing the right thing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they make dua against him. The dua is useless. Yeah. Yeah.
online, not directly related to the class. How do we understand the marriage of a Muslim man with a Kitabi woman? Does it need proper nikah and witnesses like a normal marriage, or just a court marriage is enough?
No, if
and since what is a Kitabi?
Yeah, marriage in Islam is marriage. It remains in the way it is. Those witnesses and the wali must be there. It has to be. The wali has to be there and the witnesses must be there. Mahar must be there. That's we bring somebody to be the wali, not the non-Muslim father. Kafir cannot be the wali of a Muslim.
She's a Kitabi.
Okay, then of a non-Muslim father. Okay, I messed up. Non-Muslim father. That wali should be involved.
So everything has to be there.
Everything has to be there, the witnesses. Otherwise, it will be prostitution. Yeah. The process of marriage must take place in. Yeah. Unless if they're already married before, yeah. And then he accepted Islam, but she doesn't. You get it? And she's Kitabi. He's not Muslim. He can stay with the Kitabi.
Yeah.
He
married in the court. And now they are being told that your marriage is null and void. So they're asking what to do now.
But I need to know.
They did a court marriage. That's it.
No, I need to know how is the marriage.
But even court marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. This is. How is
man,
the court?
Man, woman, the official bus.
I know they can't. They can't. They have to go through the process.
So it is void.
Yeah. They have to go through the process.
What should they do now?
I need to know if this is a real case. Why can't they? Talk to me if they can. I'll tell you the details. What really happened in the court? Yeah,
it's so
they cannot just go to the court and the judge will say, that, "Yeah, you are married to." It doesn't go like that. Yeah. They have to bring all the witnesses and the mahar has to be there. And what else? Let him go and legalize it in the masjid. To the imam, you know, have the wali, you know, somebody can act as her wali, you know, imam, if there is an imam who is appointed, you know, to represent the Muslim community there. So that should be her wali. And then the man should come, they arrange, they do the marriage.
Basically, they need to read.
This is do it in the correct way. Yeah.
How do we define who is a Kitab in today's world?
Anyone who is following the religion of Christianity or Judaism by title. Because there is no such a religion. Who claimed that he's following the Sharia of Musa or following the Sharia of Isa? Nusus established for us that these ones will remain until the day of judgment. And since before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that religion, that Sharia was gone. You have some baqaya, maybe one person. You know, the story of Salman al-Farisi. I heard that there is somebody in that place. Only one person remain on the right way. Yeah, so yeah, those ones are there. But the vast majority upon it the wrong way. The religion has been changed. But still, Allah called them Ahlul Kitab. In the same place, Allah SWT says, they said Thalithu Thalatha, they said in Allah, in the Masih ibn Maryam, who Allah, you know, in the same surah, and then he says, also you can marry Ahlul Kitab. You get the idea. So those who believe that they are following Isa alayhi salam, or they are following Musa alayhi salam, these are Ahlul Kitab. And they remain. Whether we say that marriage is legal or is not legal nowadays because of the maslaha, this is something else. But Ahlul Kitab remain. Until the day of judgment, they remain.
Second is, why are images allowed for toys as per some scholars, and why did the Prophet ﷺ allow for the cushion with images? So based on this, can jewelry be used with animals like butterflies and similar?
I'm not aware of the place where Rasulullah ﷺ allowed cushions with images. I don't never come across this.
Ustaz, yeah. I think it's in reference to the curtains that they cut and put it inside as a cushion to fill the cushion. Like cotton.
Yeah, because if they see the hadith which is mentioned by Sheikh Nasir, Jibreel told the Prophet ﷺ to cut it in a way it would not look like those things. You say like trees, like rivers. He He says, cut the images in the way they will not look like those images. They will look like trees or this and that. That's why Sheikh was saying, you can see even this is against what the scholars, the fuqaha said, that if you are disrespecting the pictures, okay. But they said, Jibreel told the Prophet ﷺ, he asked him for advice, what to do now? He said, cut them in a way they will not look like this and that. So whether they put them inside or they leave them outside, you know, whatever they are doing with them, Jibreel told him to cut them in a way they don't look like images. But to have hadith that shows that cushions or things which the images are exposed, never come across this. I need to see this hadith. Never come across. Never heard of somebody who mentioned this hadith used by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
What about toys and dolls?
This is a different case. The khilaf of the scholars will never be closed. It will remain like that. You know, many of them believe that it's wrong to have dolls unless if you remove the face or you cut the head. And you cannot buy it with the money of the children. You have to buy it with your money. And also, when they look for it. Yeah. It's some of the Hanabila, is their opinion, when they look for it. So I believe it's always better to avoid it, especially in the time we live. If you train your daughter just to have the simple, demonstration of the child, they will accept. Actually, leaving them by themselves, also they figure out how to make it by themselves, you know, have something just to have a kind of a cross and make it like a baby. And nowadays, we have a lot of things which I believe if you are to tell your daughter, choose this or that, she will choose the other ones, the other things they have, which are way better than the and the dolls. Yeah. And we go out of these things. Scholars mentioned that the can we have nowadays are wrong. Precisely revealing the shape of a woman. Yeah. It's kind of wrong. And nowadays, actually, these are outdated versions. The updated ones is the one that they sing, they dance, you know, they move, you know. All of these are very wrong and really advise a person not to get them into his house because they might be used by the devils to disturb his children. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very dangerous thing to do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next question is, sister asks, a family asks, they have done Hajj once already and have the capability to do so again. Is it better to use this money for the second Hajj or help a poor person build their sustenance or a source of income?
If there is somebody who is in need, necessity, it's better to give him. If he's in necessity, wajib to give him. If he's not in a state of necessity, give him what he needs. The balance go for Hajj. But to help him to build a business or to do this and that, it's good. It's a virtue. Yeah, but I don't have any evidence to favor this over Hajj. Is Hajj. Yeah. Somebody who needs something to eat. Yeah. They need something to eat. Yeah. Because I've heard this, and many people are saying even your Hajj is not accepted because there are so many people who are in need and you went for Hajj. I don't know. Where are we taking this, you know? Go to those people who are having maybe trillions of dollars or ringgit. Go and talk to them. This miskeen, he has money, he went for Hajj, and then you are telling him his Hajj is not accepted because he's supposed to use the money to support the poor and the needy. You know? Yeah, that's wrong information. Yeah, it's his money. As long as there is nobody who's in a state of necessity or nobody who came to him showing need. Yeah, somebody's in a hospital between life and death. Yeah, for sure. If this Hajj is not, even if it is obligatory Hajj, and that person is about to die, it's wajib for you to just use the money for him. But other than that, no. It's his money. You can go for Hajj. You can keep that money without giving it to somebody to build up himself. And there's nothing wrong with that. Why do we always focus on him when he went for Hajj? Yeah, so many people are saving their money in the bank, and you know they're very rich. Yeah, you go and focus on them and tell them to go and support the poor and the needy. But when the moment they use it for Hajj, then it's how come? I'm afraid that that might be hasad, you know?
Yes. Is it recommended to help someone else with their obligatory Hajj if you've already done yours?
No. I think I will only do it for two people. My parents. If I come down, my family members. Other than that, I will just be nafsi. Because Uzair, this is Hajj. You know, Hajj. I just want us to understand how big is this. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you make Hajj, and that Hajj is mabrur, he said there is no reward for you except Jannah. Meaning, if Allah accepts that Hajj, yani you and hell, mas salama. And then, so I make 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 80 Hajj. I don't know which one is like that. Why would I just say, okay, I made one, the first one? I don't know how sure am I that this Hajj is mabrur. Yeah, that's why you need to keep going. Inshallah, one of them will be. If you miss this one, the other one, inshallah. Every time, try to make it better than the first one. Yeah. Well, I really advise a person who can go for Hajj, as long as there is nobody next to you who is in, hunger, that this person is going to die, go for Hajj. Yeah. Hajj fixes a person and bring barakah to life and bring rizq to life. Yeah. Yeah. Many people became happy, you know. I've seen people who are very harsh, you know. Not easy to be approached, but after this few Hajj they went, khalas, they become very, mashallah, you know. Allah softened that. Yeah.
Next question. Being patient is necessary, but to be patient sometimes is so challenging. What is your advice on this matter?
Keep being patient. It's necessary. Yeah, that's how it is. Actually, the questioner was right. Yeah, why do we call it sabr? Yeah, because it needs a struggle. It's taken from the word sabir. Sabir is a shajara, very bitter, you know. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Was sabru diya." He described it as diya. What diya? It's a daw shams. Yeah, it comes with harara. Salat nur. Salah is nur, light. Nur comes with some cold, you know, temperature in it. But dhiya is also light, but it comes with harara in it, high temperature, hot temperature. So that's sabr. Why do you call it that, like that? Because you need to struggle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Somebody who has a great portion of acceptance and reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will get this watch. Yeah. Salamat.
Next question. Salam alaikum. Great to have you back. How does one better the intention of doing something that they want purely for the sake of Allah? Because sometimes when wanting something, example marriage, there are usually other intentions that also come along.
Just ignore them. The most important thing, just try in your heart to tell yourself that this is for Allah. Other small, small intention always come. You come to the class, you're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but on the way, you might have thousands of other small thoughts that comes to your brain. These are all shaitan trying to distract you. What he wants from you is to see you saying, I'm not doing it for Allah, let me go back. Yeah, then he succeeds. Just wanted to take you back. Yeah, so just keep that intention. Keep on pushing it. What comes from the shaitan, just throw it away. It will come again. Throw it away. Keep throwing. Inshallah, it will not affect your sincerity.
Yeah. Is it true that in Jannah, we would also have the joy of knowing which of the two or more from the differed opinions was correct?
Allah says, لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. Yeah, whatever you want, you have it in Jannah. So you want to see you want to have an explanation of all the controversial matters? I don't know. I would never go for that. You have a lot of things to enjoy in Jannah, but if this is what will make a person happy, Allah says, whatever you wish, you have it. Yeah. You have all the controversies from Adam alayhi salam until Rasulullah. Yeah.
Is it authentic to say SubhanAllah 10 times, Alhamdulillah 10 times, and Allahu Akbar 10 times before making dua?
I can't remember that. If you say it, yes, share with us. If you see it somewhere, just share with us at least the text of the hadith. Sure.
Is it true that wearing accessories of iron is not permissible?
Accessory of?
With iron. For example, a ring or a buckle or something like that. It's made out of iron.
That's a controversial matter amongst the scholars. A ring, you can use it. It's better to avoid it. Yeah, those who said it's okay because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told that person, he said, "Iltamis walau khataman min hadid." He was looking for mahar. He said, "Go and bring even a ring that is made from iron and metal." So they said, "Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say no," and there the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to look for it. They said it shows permissibility. So the best is to avoid it and use other things. Yeah. Finish? Alhamdulillah.
Two more. Okay. Can Sheikh give some tips for revision of knowledge as something we are lacking in?
Okay, this one will take longer time. If the question allows me to start with this question in the next class, yeah, inshallah.
Next question is, should a non-verbal person read prayer in sign language?
And who is that?
Person, let's say, cannot speak.
Mute.
Do they use sign language when they're reciting, or how do they recite?
They don't need. They just read it in their mind.
Movement of the.
Yeah, lips. Because sign language is written for others. I think right.
I mean, you can still make the signs, but you're just making the signs. No one is.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You know, they read with their heart. Yeah.
The lips have to move.
Yeah, they can, but it's useless. That's why Ibn Uthaymeen says this one, when the lips are not pronouncing something that is correct, then your movement is just useless, it's insignificant. So they read with their heart, yeah, and that's it. But if the lips can move in the way it's representing the correct pronunciation, yes, they have to do that. Yeah, that's it. If they can do that.
Would that apply for normal people as well? Like if they don't know how to pronounce properly?
They have to learn. They must learn. Because a normal person has to learn and he must move his lips. Must. Yeah. If he doesn't, then he is not reading. He's thinking in the prayer. Many of us, when we go, Allahu Akbar, they just keep quiet. That's thinking, not reading.
We can say this is a
ruksa
for this.
For this one, because there's the accent of his ability, and Allah says, Fattakullah mastata'tum. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.
Question about revision of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We refer to the next Dawah Dawah class?
Yeah, next Dawah Dawah, because tomorrow's class, we might not have time for questions. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك الحمد لله رب العالمين آمين مسجد is open yeah I like to visit until now I did not enter that masjid so I want to go there even if there is no class after Maghrib inshallah